Amisar is that Gadol Mirabban Shema, that the shorter the introduction, the more the greater respect shown for the speaker. It's an honor for us to have speaking with us the Rav Moshe Weinberger, the Rav of Beish Kodesh. I don't know if he wants us to mention, but he's a musmach of our yeshiva. And the rest you'll hear of Weinberger.
To thank Rav Blau, Rav Aris for making the shidduch, I don't know what the Ahava means, that I would be in any way, that I would hesitate in any way to be anything but proud to have been in this Bais Medrash. I spent some of the best years of my life here. It didn't look like this. We had the same Svar Mishrayim, but it wasn't painted like this. And I think very much, it's been many, many years. I haven't been in this Bais Medrash for already close to 30 years. My Rebbe Rav David used to stand and daven right there. Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha. They're very, very strong memories. Tremendous hakaras hatov to the yeshiva, to the years that I was zayicha to spend here. There's so many of the chevra that I meet in shul, in our neighborhood, and wherever I go. The calls that I get every week, Rabbi Weinberger, maybe you have a good YU boy, became a new type of a Jew. That everybody's after, everybody's looking for. Even though you might not know that, and you might not feel that. And there's a reason for that. B'shus the Rebbeim, Choshevei Talmidim. I'm not here to give a shiur. You hear shiurim from very fine Talmidei Chachamim. I'm here to talk to you a little bit. It's almost Yontif. My son-in-law heard once by the Amshnover, Rebbe, Zalgazon Zayin in Yerushalayim. Maybe some of you have seen him. If you ever saw him once, you haven't forgotten him. My son-in-law heard from an Amshin of a Chassid that the Amshin of a Rebbe, this Erev Yom Kippur, he was eating the Suda, Erev Yom Kippur, and he was very deep in thought. You all know that he's a tremendous Oved Hashem. He's a taste of something that used to be. And he was eating the Suda and saying Torah, and thinking, and it was getting very, very close to the Zman. And Ad Kedei Kach, that the Chassidim were getting nervous. It was going to be time for Kol Nidre in a few minutes, and the Rebbe's still sitting by the Suda with the meal. So finally, they asked the oldest of the Chassidim to say something to the Rebbe. So he went over, and he went next to the Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, it's a shpeit. It's late. And the Rebbe took out his watch from the pocket, and he looked at his watch. He says, this is takish shpeit. He said, it's true, it's late. But a Jew always has to have two watches. One watch says Zishpeit, it's late. It's already late. Sometimes you feel that it's too late. And the other watch says the Nachtzeit, that there's still time. who's standing now in a very special place, in a very special time. In the Sfar Makadoshim, this time is called Sha'arei Yerushalayim, the gates of Yerushalayim. You know that a few hours ago there were Yidden that were hurt at the gate of Yerushalayim. Everything that exists in space exists in time, the nefesh, Olam Shana v'nefesh. The holiest day of the year is Yom Kippur. The holiest time of Yom Kippur, of course, is in the Ilud and the Kuda Pnimis. In space, that's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But Ni'ila is in time. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is in space. And B'nefesh is the Kohen Gadol. The week of Slichus is in the Sfarim is called Omdos HaYuragleinu B'Sha'arayach Yerushalayim. We're just now standing by the gate of Yerushalayim. We're entering into Yerushalayim. The Sfarim say Omdos HaYuragleinu. Our feet are standing. Omdes HaYuragleinu means that the regilus, the hergelim, the habits of the whole year, have to stop in this place at this time. Omdes HaYuragleinu b'Sha'arayach Yerushalayim, the week of Slichus. There was a Maisa that I saw in a book. In the ghetto in Lodz, there was a great tzaddik, the Rebbe from Radishitz. And the Germans, Yimach Shemam, came out with a gzeira. You know that they made always gzeiras, and they waited a few weeks, and they made more gzeiras. They made a gzeira that all of the mikvahs in Lodz had to be closed. They claimed that it was a danger to the health of the population. They were worried about Jewish hygiene. And the Germans, Yimach Shemam, cemented, closed all of the mikvahs in Lodz. And it was a few days before Yom HaKadosh, before Yom Kippur. And the Radishitz of the Tzaddik was brokenhearted over many things. But there had never been in his life, in his adult life, a time that he wasn't able to go to the mikveh Yom Kippur. And it was the night before Erev Yom Kippur, after the curfew, that a bacher came into the bunker where the Radishitzer Rebbe was, into the place where the Rebbe was. And he says that he has a psura toiv, he has some good news for the Rebbe. Good news in that place. What was the good news? There's an expression that I always heard my father's Zogzon Zayin, that a Yid, finding an Eitzah, a Jew always has to find a way, an Eitzah. And the Jews, there were some Jews who found an Eitzah, that even though the mikvahs were all cemented closed, in the building next door, in the basement to one of the mikvahs, there were Jews that with kitchen knives and hammers were able to make a hole in the basement, and from that hole to go into the mikveh. And this was not public knowledge, but the bocher said, I was sent to tell only the few remaining rebbes and rosh yeshivas to come tonight, not to wait till tomorrow, to come at night, which is against the law. If you're caught, you'll get shot. But if you want to come to the mikveh, Rebbe, the mikveh, we have this address next door in the basement next to the mikveh. And the Radishitzer said, it's Kemaitzeh Shalol Rav. And we know this story from the Shamas who went with him, because the Rebbe himself eventually was killed. They had to walk in the ghetto, crawl. There were lights and everything. The Germans, they had to try until they got to that place. There's mamish v'sakandis nefashis. Until they came to that place. And when the Rebbe came into that house and they went down to the basement, the Shamas said that they stood on the stairs and there were hundreds of Jews, not just rabbis and rosh yeshivas, hundreds of Amcha Beis Yisrael, Yidden, some candles, and there was a hole in the wall, and they would hoist up a guy and push him through the hole, and they would scream schnell schnell, and he would quickly go into the mikveh, and there was another guy there who helped to get him back into the basement. And he said that the Rebbe stood there on the staircase and he looked and he began to cry and he said, Mika Amchi Yisrael, that even in such a dark time when life is falling apart, all Jews are looking for is an opening into Tahar, into a mikveh. That's all they want, is to find a way into Yom Kippur, a way into that world of Lifnei Mi At Metar Mi Metar Ezra. That's all they want. Nach B'Sajra Cheilu V'Nach Kair. So here we are now. B'Sharayach Yerushalayim Slichas. We're entering into the time of the Yemei HaRotzen. And we feel already, as we stand by that opening, looking for that hole in the wall someplace to get into the mikveh, to find something better than this past year, to be better. We find that suddenly we're thinking differently than we have been the whole year. Throughout the year, we become very, very concerned, and we think a lot about what other people think of us. What does my friend think about me? My parents, that's a chosh of a thing. What do my parents think about me? What does my Rebbe think about me? What does my wife think? My children? At this time of the year, we begin to have other thoughts. And everybody who's here right now in this Beis Medrash is starting to think and worry and wonder, what's the Rebbeinu Shalom thinking about me? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu think of me? You know, the Chavetz Chaim, when he was older, the Bachrim in the yeshiva were always fighting who would have the schus to spend the night watching over the Chavetz Chaim. And we have a couple of good stories from those days, because, you know, there's always somebody that's peeking into the door. If not for that guy that looks into the door, you wouldn't have many stories. So there was a guy that was looking in the bocha. There was big thunder and lightning that night. And the bocha came to the room. He wanted to make sure that the tzaddik is okay, Chavetz Chaim is all right, and everything's okay. And he saw that the Chavetz Chaim was standing by the window and he was watching the lightning. And he was looking outside the window and the Chavetz Chaim was crying. And he was saying over and over, Vos vilta tata, vos vilta tata. What does tata, father, what do you want? What do you want? Because everybody knows the Gemara says in Brachis that the whole inyan of the ra'amim of thunder is because there's not kmimis in the heart, there's a crookedness of the heart. And we need reminders that there's a bayir olam. And one of the most powerful reminders in Teva, in nature, is thunder. So Chavetz Chaim was standing by the window and he was asking, Vos vil da tate? Father, what is it that you're asking of me? Tell me, what is it that I could do? And each and every one of us is wondering, Vos vil da tate? What does our Father want from us as a people, from me personally, Chaim Moshe ben Perel, from each and every one of you? What does our Father want? He wants us to find our way into that mikveh. And I want to talk to you now about three openings. For a few minutes, again, it's not a shiur, it's just a hergish that I want to share with you. In Tanakh, we find that there are basically three relationships that we have with the Borei Olam, with the Creator of the world. There are three relationships. And in these three relationships, the three ways we relate to the Borei Olam over the course of our lives and the year, there are sibuchim, there are complications, there are mechsholim, there are failures on our part to live up to the relationship. There are achzovas, disappointments that we have, that we feel. And there are averus. In these three relationships that we have with the Borei Olam. The first relationship that we have is a father and a son. Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. The question is, what is the greatest sin that a child can commit against a parent? Chalil. What is it that every parent dreads? We're not talking here about an avshalom. But what does a parent dread? There are parents here in Mistama, there are parents to be. Every one of you knows that this is true. Even before becoming a parent. What a parent, what a father, a mother worry about more than anything is to be forgotten, to be neglected by the child. Nashani Elokim Eskol Amoli Ves Beis Avi. Nashani Elokim Eskol Amoli Ves Beis Avi. That Hashem is Baruch has caused me to forget. Nashani Elokim Eskol Amoli Ves Kol Beis Avi Ves Beis Avi. Every parent dreads being forgotten by the children. My daughter was in a nursing home recently. She said she was visiting a person in the nursing home who had pictures on the wall of her children and grandchildren. They live in New Jersey. The nursing home is in Woodmere. And she said that she hasn't seen them in 11 months. There is a natural need for a child to find himself. To find himself. And in the process of finding oneself, there is often a strange and sometimes intense need to turn away from the ones who gave you life. Every parent, especially nowadays, has heard, "But Daddy, you don't understand me. Mommy, you don't understand me. You don't know who I am." And the children have in them, each and every one of us, has a natural natiya to turn away, to reject that feeling of shibud that creates within us a need for hakaras atayv, that man so desperately tries to free himself from that feeling. We know from the Maral, the Gerari and Gracious, and Rav Kook Zecher Tzadik V'Kosher Levrach, and Aris HaTshuva, and other tzaddikim, the Beis Yaakov, Ishbitz's son, the Beis Yaakov, and other tzaddikim spoke about what happened at the time of creation, that everybody knows, that Hashem told the earth to produce trees, and that the tam ha'et should be what? Getam ha'pri. That the tree should have the same delicious taste as the fruit. That was the tzivui, the commandment of the earth, of earthly life. The tam ha'et should be getam ha'pri. A shirayim we have from that by the Esrig. The Gemara has different days. The Esrog we're familiar with. Otherwise, however, the earth did not comply with this command. And the earth, whatever that means, we're not going into the Bechir of the earth right now. But the nature of earthly life is that the fruit does not want to acknowledge or recognize the taste of the tree. does not want the tree. And therefore the chait of Adam and Chava in Gan Eden Mikedem was tearing the fruit away from the tree as if to say, Shkoyach to the tree, you were very nice, thank you for having me, goodbye. But I, as a pri, and the earth sees itself also as the Haaretz Nosn Levnei Adam, sees itself as the Tachlis, as the Saif, and therefore embedded in the consciousness of human life, there is this need for the fruit to tear itself away from the tree, to turn away from the parents, the tree that bore me, to turn away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the tree of all trees, who is Avinu Shebashamayim, and to find oneself. And in order for me to find myself, you'll forgive me. In order to find myself, I must turn away from you. And ever since Adam and Chava tore the fruit from the tree, the Nochash HaKadmoni is still whispering in our ears. You don't need your mom and dad anymore. They serve their purpose. At this point, they're outdated. Entertain them. Try to be nice. If you remember, call your mom up once in a while. Drop by a little bit, but Pnimius, it's the guys. Pnimius, it's the wife. Pnimius, it's the next children until they begin to pick their own fruits. Every parent is frightened of this. And every parent knows that this is part of creation. And our father, the Rabban Shalom, also, Kivyochel, fears this. V'ram levavcha v'shachachtas Hashem Elokecha. The Rabban Shalom says, as a father, Kindlech, I'm telling you, the time is going to come, you'll see. V'ram levavcha v'shachachtas Hashem Elokecha. Your hearts are going to grow arrogant. V'shachachtas Hashem Elokecha. And you're going to forget your father. You're going to think it's you. You're going to think that the Peiris plopped into the world. And the Eitzim were nice, but they're unnecessary, dispensable. And therefore, we ask the Baruch Shalom, our Father, Slach lanu, Avinu kichatanu. Forgive us, our Father, Slach lanu Avinu, that I put myself at the center of the universe. And that because of that, the same way that I caused my mother and father so much pain, somebody just gave me a picture when my wife and I were dating. At that time, my future sister-in-law took a picture. And I was looking at that picture and was smiling at the picture with my wife. And I was thinking back to that time. At that time, it was Chasen Kal. And I was thinking back to that time. I remember that day. I remember exactly where the picture was taken. And I remember that I promised my mother that night that I would call her if it was after 1 o'clock in the morning. And I remember very clearly that I did not call her. We were having a very deep discussion, my Kal and I, you understand. And I didn't call, but instead I just pulled up at around 3:30. When the light in my parents' room, of course, went out, when my mother was looking out the window, and then she made believe that she was sleeping, and I had that look the next morning for my father. It wasn't a look of anger, it was a look of hurt. For the millionth time, Aisha, you've forgotten your mother. And I know that she was sitting by the window. There were no cell phones in those days. She was just worried and probably crying, because every week when I would come here to the yeshiva, my mother would stand by the door like it was the last time we would ever see each other. She comes from a different world. And there was a time that she remembers when she never saw her parents there for that time. Slach lono avinu kichaton. I'm so sorry, Rabbi Shalom, that I have ignored you. And we say on Yom Kippur, the whole vidui, by the vidui of the Shliach Tzibur, Onu banecha va'ata avinu. Ki onu banecha va'ata avinu. And therefore, Rabbi Shlomo, we're asking you, Sof Kol Sof, we remember. We want to attach the fruit back to the tree. And we're asking you, Rachmenu Kerachim Ov Albon, to have Rachman, as a father has on his children. That's the first relationship. The second relationship in Tanakh, which is harder for us to relate to because the institution is one that we haven't grown up with. That's the relationship between a melech and an eved. An adain and an eved. The king or the master and his servant, his subject. What is the greatest chait? What is the greatest sin of an eved? Here the point is not shikh, not forgetting the king. The king doesn't entertain that thought or that need for you to have this great emotional bond to him and to remember him every second. That's not the ikkah that the king is looking for. What the king asks of each and every subject in the kingdom, what the master asks of the servant is one thing. Obedience. And the greatest sin that an eved can commit against the adain, against the melech, the greatest sin is the sin of merida, of being married by malchus, disobedience. Because the king has a gewaltige big thing that he's trying to accomplish in the world. The king has a big thing that he's trying to accomplish in the world. And in order for the king to accomplish that, ein melech b'lo yam, in order for the king to accomplish this great, great thing that he's trying to do in the world, he needs that each and every one of the b'nei ha-malchus, each and every one, serve him faithfully and loyally. And in order to do that, the Eved must be mevatel his own opinions, his own thoughts of what's better or what's worse, what's right and what's wrong. Because the objective of the king transcends any of the personal interests or desires of any individual subject in the kingdom. The Melech is the Lev Ha'am. The Melech is the entire nation. The Melech is the entire world. And therefore, the Eved, who is Poyrek Ol, the Eved, the slave, the servant, who is Poyrek Ol, who unties that commitment from himself, who unburdens himself, and therefore was unfaithful to the Melech, to the Malchus. The Eved gave the Mishpat HaBechaira to his own personal ritzoinus of what I wanted, of what I felt like doing, of what I thought is important in my own little world. And the Eved ignored the bigger picture of the Malchus. And therefore, because of his own personal ambitions, he became lost in the shtusim and the havolim, in the narishkeit and the emptiness and the silliness of indulging in his own desires and ignoring the achrayis that he had as a eved to the king to do what he was told and serve the needs of the malchus. So when it comes to this time of the year, you say, Rabbanu Shloilam, Mechalanu, Mechalanu, Malkeinu, Kipashanu, Mechalanu, Malkeinu, Mechila. When there's Mechila, everybody knows, everybody learns Nezikin, everybody's learned Chayshu Mishpat. Mechila means that there's a Chayv. And the Chayv is one that we owe the Borei Olam as our King. And we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, I have not paid my chayvis, I have not fulfilled my achrayis in your malchus. Ana avdu dekutshe brichu is a nice song. Ana avdu dekutshe brichu, I'm a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The life of an Eved is the life of listening. To listen. It's the Ikke mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, Midaraisa, is listening. Is hearing. I placed my own little malchus before the bigger malchus of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And therefore, Rabbi Shalom, I'm promising you that I'm going to try mikan lahaba to live up to that sentence of Ana avda dekudshu brichu, I'm an Eved, to be an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have kashes. I have more than four kashes. I have more than 4,000 kashes. Rabbi Shalom, please understand, Kivyachal, you're a kelmistater. It's not like a regular king that we see. It's not like a regular king who we see in the streets. You know, there's one of the Sipurim Isis, in one of the stories of Rabbi Nachman, in one of Rabbi Nachman's stories of the Chochem and the Tam, of the wise man and the simple man. So you know that some of you have learned the story. It's a very, very hard story. It's about us and our struggle to be simple. But you know that each one was sent a message that the king wants to see him. And the Tom, the simple person, was so excited and he prepared himself to meet the king. The Chacham, on the other hand, was skeptical. And he came to the capital city and he was thinking, I never really saw the king. They talk about him. He started to ask some soldiers in the city, who do you serve? They said, we're soldiers of the king. And the Chacham asked, did you ever meet the king? Did you ever see the king? We never actually saw the king. But we know that we served the king, but we never saw him. And the Chacham began to wonder, I have spoken to many people, I haven't met anybody who ever saw the king. Ulai, who knows for sure, maybe there isn't even a king. Read the story of the Chacham and Tam, how those two Jews went in life, and what happened to the Chacham, what happened to the Tam. So Rabbi Shalom is a kelmistata, we don't see him. There are no press conferences with Rabbi Shalom Kivyon. And therefore we're saying, Hashem's Baruch, it's hard. We're trying to be at the end of these last few days before Mashiach comes. We're trying to serve you. But we know that we haven't lived up to your expectations. And therefore we're asking you, Mechal lonu malkeinu. First is slach lonu avinu. And now we're asking you, Mechalonu Malkeinu, Kipashanu. And we sing in the Vidui, by the Vidui, the Shlich Tzibur, Onu Avadecha Va'ata Malkeinu. Onu Avadecha Va'ata Malkeinu. The third relationship is the most complicated. It gives the greatest pleasure, but it causes the greatest pain. What's this man? The relationship that we have with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam as chasan and kala, as husband and wife. Just the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was megalotas in many psukim, and the whole sefer Shir Shirim is built on this yachas and this kesher of a husband and wife. What's the greatest sin in marriage? I'm not talking about, God forbid, somebody who's unfaithful. I'm talking about a husband and wife who are faithful to each other. In the misgeres of that faithful relationship, what is the greatest sin? It's felt more by women than by men because of their nature, but not only. insensitivity. Insensitivity. There's a famous maisa. I have to be makatze. There's a famous maisa. The Rebbe Moshe Lubavitcher's Chusikanu said where he learned to harvest Yisrael. Some of you, I'm sure, heard of this. The Rebbe Moshe Lubavitcher said that he learned to harvest Yisrael from two drunk peasants in the bar. Rebbe Moshe Lubavitcher said that he was traveling and he came someplace to rest, as they had in those days these kretschmas, these inns, and there were two drunk peasants sitting there by the bar, whatever, Igor and Ivan. If there are other names that you prefer, you could use those names. We get the picture, two drunk peasants. And they were sitting there and they were drinking l'chaims to each other. And the Rebbe Moshe Leib was watching the spectacle of these two drunks enjoying the drinks. And he heard the conversation. One says to the other, Ivan says to Igor, he asks him, Igor, you're my friend, do you love me? And Igor says, Ivan, I'm your friend for so many years, of course I love you, you're my best friend. Yeah, so they drink a l'chaim to our friendship. After that, asks him again, are you really my friend? Really, are you my friend? You really love me? He says, I told you that I'm your best friend for 50 years, I love you. Yeah. L'chaim. And then again, Rav Moshe Leib says, he asked him again, truthfully, be'emes l'amita, do you love me? So the guy says, I told you, Eddie, twice I told you that you're my best friend, I love you. And the other one, Ivan, is shaking his head and he said, you don't love me. And his friend says, why do you say that? So he said, because if you really, really would love me, you would know what's hurting me right now. You don't have a clue. You have no idea how tzibrochen a person I am right now. And if you really loved me, you would know how much pain I'm in. And the Rebbe Moshe Leib Sasseva said, from those two shikas, I learned what it means to love a Jew. In your name, what is that? When people get married, each one is looking in the other to find some geula from the loneliness of this world. And that journey of loneliness, ever since they tore the fruit from the tree, each one is looking for the other. And to create a kesher that's going to be a kesher of ponim el ponim, face to face. You know, one of the names of Rosh Hashanah that we find in the Svarim HaKadoshim is that Rosh Hashanah is called the Yom HaNesira. What does that mean? Nesira? No? Nesira means sewing in half. Because the Zohar Kodesh accepts the view of Chazal that Adam and Chavu were initially connected back to back, and on Rosh Hashanah, that day that they were created, there was the sewing in half, the Nesira. And therefore it's called the Yom HaNesira. There's a big section in the Kisvei Ari for Rosh Hashanah on this inyan of the Nesira. The Rachel Leia, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and the Nesira. The sawing in half. And the reason for the sawing in half is because the Baruch Shalom wants that a husband and wife should be able to relate to each other ponim al ponim, and not in the way of achor ba'achor, back to back, but face to face. And there's a long Torah from the Baal HaTanya Schus again Eleinu, and Achrei Mois, and Likutei Torah. The Tanya explains the meaning of tshuva. And he asks, what does it mean to return to God? You can never go away from God. He's with you everywhere. What does it mean to return to Him? Tshuva means to come back. How do you come back? You can't go away. He's with you. There is no place without God, so how can a person ever go away from Him? And if you can't go away, then how do you return to the one you can't leave? So the Tanya explains, I'm giving just to paraphrase. If you have a chance, you look there for yourselves. The Tanya explains, you could have two people that they live in the same house. And their mamas sit 6 inches across from each other at the table. And they had children and grandchildren. But their whole relationship is ocher ba'ocher, is still back to back, not ponim al ponim. And you know how many times I have these kind of people that come to my office? 95% of the time the wife wants to talk to us and says, all right, I'll go. She tells on, you told the rabbi, okay, so I'll come. And then they come there and they sit in front of me. And invariably, I'm looking at both of them. and they're not looking at each other. I said, so who wants to start over here? How do we begin? So she looks at him a little bit and he says, you know, I don't know, something's bothering my wife. I don't understand, because I'm always helping in the house. And he says, and I always remember your birthday. And he says, well, maybe there was one time 14 years ago because of this. But otherwise, I always remember your birthday. And didn't I remember your anniversary? And don't I change light bulbs when they burn out? And don't I take out the garbage every couple of weeks? I'm a good husband. And she's sitting there the whole time shaking her head. And she says, if she would know the pasuk from Yirmiyah, she would use the same words that the Navi used coming from the Bari Olam. Ponu elai oiref. They turned their back to me. Which means, I didn't marry you. I'm happy you take out garbage and you change bulbs. And I'm happy you're a good father, you're a good husband, you're faithful. But you don't look at me, ponim al ponim. It's not the same way it was under the chuppah. And because of that, because I feel that you would no longer care about what's hurting me and what's missing in my life, that relationship that we had, and I feel that over time you've become insensitive, I would do anything for you. I'm happy to clean, to cook, to do everything, to raise the children. And that's why I got married. I wanted all of those things, and besimcha I'll do it. But after all the years of you turning the other way and not looking at me eye to eye and not feeling what's inside of me, not caring about me as a gavra, I feel like I'm treated like a chefze. I began to feel at some point years ago that I'm a thing, not a person. The Baruch Shalom says, so we have chasm kala. So the Baruch Shalom says to us, I know you put on tefillin. I know you keep Shabbos. I know you learn a blat Gemara. But where's the pnimius? Where's the fire? Where's the tmimis? Where's the ahava? Where's the ponim al ponim? When I gave you the Torah, I gave it to you ponim al ponim. I gave it to you, I looked at you in the eyes by the chuppah, by Maimon HaSinai. Where's the ponim al ponim? Ponim alai oiref. You go through the motions. You learn Torah, has no shaykhis to the Borei Olam. You're trying to slug up a chavrusa. You're trying to slug up a rabbi. You're trying to say a fancy kasha, a fancy teretz. Where am I? How much of what you learn means something to you, be'emes? How much of your davening changes your life? Do you live for me, or do you just live with me? So you come Rosh Hashanah, like it says in the Zohar Kodesh, we want this. Bona Chaim is on hav hav, like a dog, the Zohar says. Hav hav, give me, give me. Give me bonim, give me bonim, give me chai, give me zon, I want, I have a shopping list. Kosvei b'seif hazeh, kosvei b'seif hazeh. The Baruch Shalom wants there should be a kesher, a yachas, upon him, upon him. So therefore, comes to this time of the year, we say, kaper lona, Baruch Shalom, kaper lona. Everybody knows that lechaper means to clean, to remove anything that's in between, to take away all the hurt, to take away the coldness, the shidchiyas, the shallowness in a relationship. And we sing by vidui, ki onurai yasecha, Va'ata doidenu. Ki onurai yasecha, va'ata doidenu. We are your beloved. Va'ata doidenu. And therefore we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, we remember the chuppah. And we're filled once again with the gaguim, with longing for you. And we're filled once again with that feeling that I can't live without you. But be'emes, to have that relationship, to have that connection to you. These three relationships are by said late, but these three relationships correspond to Elul, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. The Ikar of Elul is in the capital that we say this whole time, beginning Rosh Chodesh. Ovi v'im yazavuni v'Hashem yasveini means to come back home to the Rebbein Shalom. Shiv to be beis Hashem kol yimei chayai. Shiv to be beis Hashem kol yimei chayai means that Elul, it says in the Zohar Kodesh, that the side of Elul is uvochse es aviyah ves ima yerach yomim. By the Afas Toyer it says uvochse, she cries over her father and her mother, yerach yomim. And the Zohar Kodesh says, Da Yarcha de Elul, it's the month of Elul. The month of Elul is when we're crying, we're saying, Tati, Father, I left you. And I know that as a child, no matter what I've done and how far I've gone from the house, and even though I've neglected you and I've forgotten you, I'm here. And I'm asking you to take me back. V'Hashem Yasveini, Ovi V'im Yazavuni. V'Hashem Yasveini. Shifti B'Veis Hashem. To make this my house again. During this time of the year, the Besmedrash, the shul is once again a person's house. We stay here, we live here. And I'm saying, Rebbeinu Shalom, take me back. A parent always takes a child back. Reb Leibler Eger, Zchus Chananim, he talks about the Indian of lighting the menorah by Hanukkah, by the door. He says that that Indian comes from when Yaakov Avinu stood by his door, waiting, looking at him through the darkness, waiting for Yosef HaTzadik to come back home. And that's why we light Hanukkah lit by the door, by the opening. Because the Borei Olam is waiting for his children to come home to him. And to know that that's our father. That's El. The Iker of Rosh Hashanah. All of Rosh Hashanah is summed up in one word, HaMelech. HaMelech. Rosh Hashanah by Chabad Hasidim is called the coronatia, the coronation. Yechi HaMelech. The Rebbein Shalom lives. Reb Sadi Goyen says that one of the kavanas of Reb Sadia by the Tkiyah Shofar is the tradition that was in all places where you had kings, that they would blow the trumpets on the anniversary of the coronation. They would blow the chitzos, the shofars. Horiyu lufnei HaMelech Hashem. In Uman, there are thousands and thousands of B'lian Horiyidin that are going to be there when the Baal Tefillah screams out HaMelech, then everybody starts to cheer and to clap. HaMelech. The Inyan of HaMelech is not so much how you feel. The Inyan of HaMelech is saying this, Rebbein Shalom, I was neglectful of my duties as a servant in Yamalchus. I'm here to re-enlist in the Malchus. And enlistment means I'm giving myself over again to be a faithful soldier in the Malchus of Hashem. Without kashas. And if I have kashas, I'll live with them. I'll keep them to myself. But to be an eved to the Melech. And to be part of that amazing, amazing process. Bringing to that day of Malchusai, Bakol Mashalom, V'chein Simloch, V'chein Yiskadosh, V'chein Tein Pachtecha. I'm part of that. I'm a part of that. Of that Malchus, Nimbori Olam Kivyochel says he needs me in his Malchus. My Shabbos, my Tefillin, my Gemara, he needs me. My Yerushalayim, he needs me. Kivyochel. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's Mechalonu, Malkeinu, Kiposhanu, and then comes the Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we know from Tanis, the Gemara in Tanis, is Yom Chasunosoi. The day of the Chasna, you know that in the time of Chazal, it was a day to make Shidduchim. Lahoy Yom Tov Yisrael, Yom Kippur and Tuba Av, Yom Kippur was a day of Shidduch. Which on our Madrig, we're not masik what that means. Because that's only a reflection of the intimacy between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Kala Knesset Yisrael on the day of Yom Kippur. And therefore all of the Viduyim, what does it mean Vidui? Vidui, everybody knows, a husband and wife know, that to say, Kaidam Kol, I admit, I ignored you, I admit I was insensitive to you, I admit that. And to validate, that's a word they use now, but it's true. To validate the pain that you were feeling because I didn't face you. I didn't think about what hurt you, I was so wrapped up in myself. And therefore, Yom Kippur is a day that's filled with emesed diburim, diburim amitiyim. And in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol takes all of Klai Yisrael lifnai v'lifnim, which Chazal say in that the pasuk of Cheder Harasi, there's an intimacy of lifnai v'lifnim, that private place where the Kruvim was standing as a chasn and kala, where the Bari Olam and Knesset Yisrael would see each other panim al panim, and in Yontiv, the curtain we pulled aside, so Re'el Chibosim, with the Amokim, a chiba of a husband and wife, of a chasn and kala on Yom Kippur. And that's the first mission in Yomer. We understand that the Kohen Gadol had din that he had to be married. Ba'adoyu ba'ad beisai. Beisai zu'ishtai. To be able to understand that that is the nature of the kesher between Kutcher Brichu and Knesset Yisrael, between the Chosn and Kala. And therefore, in Yom Kippur, the Seel HaZozel was thrown off the mountain, because the Seel HaZozel means all of the Amolek that came into our relationship, all the Gemat Yisafek, all of the doubts, does she still love me? Does he still love me after all these years? Am I the center of his universe? Am I the center of her universe? Because when there's a suffix in the ahava between two people, the pain is unbearable. And therefore, the gairolais, the gairol Hashem and the gairol Azazel means, Rabbi Yerushalayim, ata gairolainu. The deepest, deepest pleasure of these relationships, the relationship between Chosn and Kala, because it's a relationship of Bechira Chavshis. A father and a son, it's not the son's Bechira to have this father. An Eved and a Melech, it's not the Eved's Bechira to have this king. Chosn and Kala is a Bechina of Bechira Chavshis. And Bechira Chavshis, where there's Bechira Chavshis, it means there can be greater pain, but it's the greatest pleasure because I've chosen this. I want this. And therefore the intimacy of Yom Kippur is the intimacy of that day of Ata Garalenu, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, Ishtai Kegufai. They're no longer any sveikis in our relationship. Before Gedaliah Yeshua, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, before Gedaliah Yeshua died, it was a short time before he was nifter, there was a Talmud of his that got married, and there was a Shever Brachas. And Rabbi Gedaliah's family was annoyed that the Chosn had what they felt the nerve to go and to bother Rabbi Gedaliah to invite him to come to the Shever Brachas. Because he was already very sick, and the family knew the way he was, and that he would want to go to Shever Brachas, and they felt that the Talmud should not have said anything. But Rav Gedaliah heard this, and he went. It was actually said in the Sefer, it was the last public appearance before he was Nifter, was by this Talmud Shever Brachas. And by the Shever Brachas, before he died, Rav Gedaliah said that it's a minhag Yisrael to give a gift to the Chosn and Kala. That comes from the Zohar Kodesh and Parshas Vayetzeh. And the Rambam also in the 14th Perek of Ovel, the Halachas of Avelis, Mitzvah Saseh Shel Divreim L'Sameach HaKala V'Chosn L'Sadam V'Chol Tzercheyim. It's a Mitzvah Saseh Midirabonim Midivreim to be M'Sameach V'Chosn and Kala by supporting them with what they need. The Rambam. So Gedaliah said, "No, the Baruch Shalom also keeps mitzvahs, even the drabbans." And we know that because it says in the bracha, "Bracha to Hashem, m'sameach chosn v'kala, m'sameach chosn imakala." That the Baruch Shalom sends a gift, the most precious gift of all, to be m'sameach the chosn v'kala. To be sameach the chosn im hakal. And Rav Gedaliah said, "What gift does the Baruch Shalom send?" And he said, "The gift is the gift of erasing the past, of mechilas avinus." And he said to the chosn kala, "Whatever was before is no longer, and you have a new life ahead of you. It should be pure and holy." and to be good to each other. Rabbi Yisai, Rabbi Shalom, our Father, Rabbi Shalom, our King, Rabbi Shalom, our Chosan, is sending us now this gift. He's begging us to take it. How do we begin? Some of you might even remember over here, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, you remember? I don't know how many years since he was Nifter. It's not so long. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, as you know, had a terrible stroke. And he had to be taught like a child how to walk and how to speak. And he was working with a physical therapist, and there was a wonderful bacher who was volunteering to help the Rebbe, to help Rabbi Aaron with his walking exercises, and his mamish like a child learning how to walk. And the bacher said that he went with Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, and he was holding him, and Rabbi Aaron was struggling to take a step. And he saw that Rabbi Aaron was perspiring and he was whispering something. And the Bacha said he leaned closer and he heard Rabbi Aaron saying, Achas, Achas v'Achas, Achas v'Shtayim, Achas v'Sholosh. The Baruch Shalom should help us to understand that even the tiniest little steps that we take back to our Father, to our King, to our Chos, is Achas, Achas v'Achas, Achas v'Shtayim. It's like this Rikas Dam in the Mizbeach, to take away all that was bad and to bring into our lives Gevaldige Hischachas, to be back with our Father, to be back with our King, to be back with the Chosn, with the Melech Malchi Amloch Kodesh Baruch Hu. Each and every one of us should be Zoyche to be Nechtovim V'Nechtovim B'Sifren Shal Tzadikim, should be Zoyche to be written in that place of La'alta L'chaim Toivim. We should be Zoyche to be Yiv of Yeshua's and the Chalmas and the Gula Hashlim V'Amitis V'Mehem Yameinu V'Amein V'Amein. Amen.